Well, good morning. This is our, Michael said it earlier, but our first Sunday of the new year. So happy new year, everyone. We just finished a season of Christmas and celebrating the gift that God gave us in his son and through our tradition of giving others gifts as well. So today we're going to talk about gifts that we have, not physical gifts that we have, but what gifts God has given us that we can share with those around us. And so we have a responsibility as believers to use those gifts that God has given us, not to keep them to ourselves. So we're called to share the gospel and to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to shine our light in the world. And so being generous is one way that we can live out this command from God. We can use our time, our abilities, and our resources that are blessings from him to further the kingdom of God. So when I was thinking about generosity, a movie came to my mind that came out in early 2000s. It's called Pay It Forward. Does anybody... the older people in the crowd remember this movie? And I haven't watched it recently. I only watched it back when it came out. But the concept is that I think this kid had an assignment to do for school where he had to figure out some way to pay it forward. So someone did something nice to him. So he paid it forward to three other people, which then encouraged each of those people to pay it forward. And so this is like a multiplication effect then of kindness. So, and it wasn't meant to repay the person that gave it to you. You couldn't pay them back. You had to do something kind to other people and pay it forward. And so this kind of, I remember at the time, it was kind of a movement where it was talked about a lot, that this concept of paying it forward. And so the drive-through line ahead of you, you could pull up to the window and get ready to pay, and the person would say, well, the car ahead of you already paid it for you. So then that you paid it forward to the next person, and that whole thing. So as we see the good that comes from these things and the happiness that it brings, we want to like continue to do that. So it's an interesting concept. And the Bible actually reflects this concept. In Matthew 10:8, it says, freely you have received, freely give. So obviously God gives his grace and his son who was sent to save us and forgive us of our sins. So we are called to pass that on to other people as well. And so obviously Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our sins is the ultimate gift. There's nothing that we can ever do to repay that, because it's impossible, but we can pay it forward. So when we start giving what we have to other people and paying it forward, it goes from being something that you have to do to something that you want to do, because you see God working in the lives of those around you and in you, and it inspires you to you get to serve rather than you have to serve. It's not an obligation. It's something that you want to see, so you make it a priority. So we're going to circle back to some of these concepts, knowing that this is the first Sunday of the new year, it's also a time of reflection. What did we do last year in our lives? How did we help people? And what can we do this coming year? And so the past is the past, and that's why it's always really cool with a new year to have a fresh start and think about, okay, are there some ways that I fell short last year? Yes, maybe. But maybe this year is a chance to reset and think about what this year brings. How are you investing your life? What seeds are you planting? And what can you do today that will impact other people? So with that being said, we're going to talk about biblical stewardship. And this is what Clay talks about a lot: faith God, manage resources, love people. So it talks about our faith in God helps us, how helps shape us, how we manage our resources and we love other people. So obviously, God is in charge of everything. God owns everything. Everything belongs to him. And our role is managers. So God has given us time. He's given us resources, and he's given us money to manage. And so we want to use what he's given us to further his kingdom. And also, we will give an account one day of what he's entrusted us to do. In Matthew 25, we see this clearly in the parable of the sheep and the goats. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you was prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" So serving the least of these is serving Christ. So the group on the right, the sheep here, express generosity through time, resources, and money. And so before we go any further, I'm going to be hitting pretty heavy on these topics of time, resources, and money. But I did want to say that in preparing this, I spent a lot of time reflecting in my own life. And I'm coming at this topic humbly and knowing that in my own life, there's room for improvement in all of these areas. And so I've been challenged as I've been preparing this topic, and I wanted to challenge you also. All right, so let's go back and see how we can grow from this. It says, so what were the things that this group did to be generous? You gave me something to eat. You gave me something to drink. You invited me in. You clothed me. You looked after me. And you came to visit me. All right. So these are all areas that involved the use of time, money, and resources to help. All right, so let's keep reading because it continues. This parable continues. "Then he will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in a prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." Ouch. That's really hard to hear. This shows us that we have a responsibility as Christians to use what God has given us to help those around us, not to keep those gifts for ourselves. All right, so it's not okay to do nothing. It's kind of what we learn. All right, so the first thing I want to tackle is generosity expressed through the gift of time. Time. Time is hard to give, isn't it? You know, when you catch up with someone, you say, oh, hi, how are you? Oh, good, just busy, right? Everyone's busy. Busy. Busy doing what? We tend to protect our time and want to keep it to ourselves. And I think as Americans, it's pretty easy to do. That's kind of our culture, you know. Pull into the driveway, go into your house, and then that's it. You don't see your neighbors, except when it's time to shovel the snow together. or Clay had talked about trick-or-treating. You know, you see the community. But a lot of, if we think about it, a lot of time is just kind of spent in our own space, in our own home. And I don't think that COVID did us any help with this, because I think everyone just got used to being at home and not hanging out with people. And so that is definitely a challenge. And it is, you know, you're comfortable in your own home, right? Time also, not packing our schedules so full so that there's no, like, breathing room also. So that's, like, Diana has challenged me about that in the past, about, like, there has to be some wiggle room so that if somebody has a need, then you're available to help with that, rather than, oh, no, I've got, you know, my whole day is, like, packed. But then there's the other side of that where, okay, what are you doing in the evenings? Are we scrolling? Are we binge watching TV every evening, day in and day out? Is that our routine? And think about, could your evenings or could your time during the day be better spent supporting someone in need rather than just keeping to yourself? So think about the time that you have and the time that God has given you. And think about what are some ways that you can use your time to help other people rather than keeping that gift of time to yourself. There's a lot of, especially around the holidays, there's service opportunities for serving in soup kitchens, food banks, visiting people that can't leave the house, doing mission work of some sort, even if it's just listening to someone, supporting them, helping them with a project that they can't do themselves, making a meal for someone, helping someone with groceries or running errands, maybe just taking that time to, like, send an encouraging note to somebody. Now, all of this to say that we are not all in the same place in life, and some of you might be going through a very busy season, maybe with small kids, and your margins are much less than what other people have, and that's okay. That's where you're at right now. But just assess your own life and think about, is there one way that you can change your comfortable routine to step out on faith and use that gift of time that God has given you? All right, so next I want to talk about generosity expressed through the gift of resources. And in the early church in Acts, we have this model where the new believers met together. And it says in Acts 2, 44 through 45, that all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So they all were together. They supported each other. They shared what they had. They didn't keep it to themselves. So they were smart with their resources, right? Do we all need all of the things that everybody else has for ourselves? Or could we use that early church model and think about ways that we can share what we have? So what resources or gifts has God given to you? Now, this could be material resources that you have that somebody else could use that you're not using at this point. It could be knowledge in a certain area that would help someone else. I know I've seen a lot of this in Horizon with helping with like home projects. And I mean, actually, when we did this building, when we got this building, a bunch of people who had expertise in areas of creating a new space worked together, and they used their resources to help change this into a church for us. What spiritual gifts do you have? It's outlined in the Bible. Serving others, the gift of hospitality, where you can have people over. And that is not just, hospitality is not just having people in your home. You can be hospitable, not in your own space, making other people feel comfortable around you. Is it teaching something that you know and having others learn from you? Is it the gift of encouragement? The gift of understanding the Bible and being able to clearly articulate that. So to illustrate generosity expressed through resources, let's look at a familiar passage about someone who invested a lot in a total stranger. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we all know. And it's in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.'" Okay, so what things did the Good Samaritan here use to aid the man who was beaten? He uses time, and a lot of time at that, right? So as he stumbled upon this man, he took him to an inn. Who knows how close that village was? And then not only that, he went back to take care of matters, I guess, on his own, but then he came back to check on him. He used resources of oil and wine to help the man. He transported the man, and he had compassion for him. He used his own money to pay for the hotel and to make sure that this man was taken care of. So the Good Samaritan was just going about his day. He didn't expect for this to happen, but he took full advantage of the opportunity that God has given him with these resources, and he used it to pay it forward to this man. So what resources might God be calling you to use to help those around you? All right, so we're going to take a look at another passage that talks about freely giving our resources. And in this one, it's in 2 Corinthians, and Paul is talking to the Corinthians about Christian living and about generosity specifically. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Okay, so as Clay says, let's unpack this. It starts out with whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Okay, so if you have if you plant a few seeds, you're going to get a small harvest. If you plant many seeds, you're going to get a large harvest. So this works not just in the natural world, but in the spiritual sense as a metaphor also. God uses what we put in, and what we put in is what comes out. But he also has the ability to multiply, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But looking at the next verse, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so we don't give things in order to get something in return. We're supposed to give willingly and cheerfully. So this means that our heart matters going into this giving the gifts matter more than the outcome. We don't have responsibility for the outcome. God does. So God loves a cheerful giver, but can the act of giving actually make us happier? A study was published in the Journal of Psychology that found that generosity is linked to happiness and contentment. They divided people into two groups. Group A was given money, and they focused on spending the money on wants for themselves, like things that they wanted, dinners out or vacations, something that would be produce happiness for them. And group B was given money to spend on buying gifts for others, donating to charity, or helping family and friends. So after 4 months, they met back together. Group B actually reported much higher and lasting happiness. This is the group that was helping other people, paying it forward, rather than taking this money for them. And so the money that they received, they blessed others with it. And so it took the focus away from themselves. And that was actually the happier group. Funny how that is, huh? Something that seems... this happens a lot, I think, with God's commandments, where it seems restrictive, like, oh, this is what you have to do. But in all actuality, God enabled this so that we could be blessed. It's a way to bless us. Does anybody have more fun giving gifts at Christmas than getting them? Like, it's fun planning out, like, what people, trying to find a gift for someone that they would appreciate. Like, that's joy, right? Giving. All right, the next verse. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So God gets the credit here. The blessings don't come from us. They come from God working through us. And then it becomes an act of worship as we step out on faith. And we see that God is able to do the blessing, and it makes us want to keep going. It's like this cycle. The next verse, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their righteousness endures forever. So nothing gets unnoticed here. Our actions matter for eternity, and there is accountability for our actions. All right, and lastly, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So there you have it. God multiplies our time and our resources and our money invested. And it reminds me, I was trying to think of something in the natural world that I see this, and I thought of a sunflower, how it's one flower, but there's thousands of seeds in this one flower. And then they can be planted and grow. And so that's the ability that we have. We're one person, but God has given all of us unique individual gifts that if we use them for others, we can show God's love to those around us. All right, so now it's time to tackle generosity expressed through the gift of money. So why does money matter? Well, it meets our basic needs, right? We have to have money in order to live, to buy groceries, to have a home, those sort of things. It also provides security and stability for us now and in the future. But while money is vital to living, it cannot buy everything. We know this. Money cannot buy love. It can't buy meaningful relationships. It can't buy us purpose in life, and it can't buy good health. So back to the scientific study, it said research shows that beyond a certain level necessary for comfort and security, more money doesn't proportionally increase happiness. Why does money matter? Money is mentioned over 800 times in Scripture. And there's that famous passage that you've heard, the love of money is the root of all evil. God knew that we would hold our money tight. All right, so now as we're talking about money, a word used in Christian circles pops up, tithe or tithing. What is it? What is tithing? So tithing is God's standard for consistent giving. It's meant as not every once in a while, but it's intentional and it's consistent. Giving 10% as an act of worship and trust. Now, 10% is not an insignificant amount. You know, it's not like a penny on the dollar. It's more than that. So it's meant to have take a step of faith there. And I remember in college, you know, when I didn't have much money, it was hard to think of 10% just goes away. What? I'm barely scraping by here. And lastly, it supports the work of ministry. So that those are the essential concepts of tithing, supporting the work of the ministry, giving 10% as an act of worship. And it is God's standard. So why is it God's standard? Where does this 10% come about? Let's look at the Old Testament here, because the first time tithe is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis chapter 14, dealing with Abraham. And Abraham voluntarily gives a 10% to Melchizedek, who was a priest king, there, 10% of the spoils of war. And this was after he acknowledged that God saved him from a battle, and the people that he fought against actually had captured his nephew Lot, and so he was able to get Lot back. And so he voluntarily gave 10% of the spoils of war to Melchizedek. We see it also in Jacob, Genesis 28, where he vowed to commit a full tenth of what he had to God. And then the Mosaic Law, which the Mosaic Law is the laws that God gave to Moses, the first five books of the Bible. In Leviticus 27, it says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And lastly, in Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. All right. So God blesses us as a result of our obedience to give. I also take this to mean it's giving off the top, the first fruits, not our leftovers. And so I look at this for me personally, thinking about the money that we get goes off the gross, not the net, but that is a personal decision that would require prayer and talking to God about what he feels, what he's leading you, what decision he's leading you to make. But one thing is for sure, the tithe belongs to God. It's not ours. It goes back to God. All right, so let's see what the New Testament says about tithing. Matthew 23 and Luke 11 both tell the story, a passage. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So here, the heart matters again. It's not just do this law because I said so, right? It's like, what are you thinking in your heart as you give? Are you ignoring other things? So Jesus here affirms tithing, but he emphasizes justice, mercy, and faithfulness as well. Then in Mark 12, it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So here we see this widow is stepping out on faith, giving everything that she has, not knowing where the next meal is going to come from, but taking that leap of faith to give. And it's an act of worship. So it shows here that her faith and trust outweigh the quantity that you put in, and it's a matter of the heart. And lastly, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, and this is the love chapter that's read a lot of times at weddings, but this verse has to do with giving. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So the heart matters. And so under the new covenant, which is Christ's covenant, we as Christians believe that Christ fulfilled the law. It says in Matthew 5, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So this means a new covenant was established by Christ Jesus, offering us forgiveness of sins, a transformed heart, and a personal relationship with God. That means these ceremonial laws fall away, but the moral principles remain. So that means that this commandment of 10% is not capped at a 10%. We can give as much or more as we want. So why does tithing matter today? It's an act of worship. And like we saw, the poor lady who gave all that she had and she stepped out on faith, God abundantly provided for her, and he abundantly provides for us too when we step out on faith. And we've seen that in the verses we examine. It helps us see as our purpose as Christians that we are not to keep these gifts to ourselves, but we don't have to serve, we get to serve. And also it produces awareness of God's blessings. So when, back to that movie, Pay It Forward, where people were so inspired to want to give because you see God working and you want to give back as well. So it's just a way to further his kingdom, and one thing leads to another. The personal and emotional impact here, we see that these scientific studies proved that true happiness is, right? Not just hoarding this, but sharing it with others. It shifts away from thinking about us all the time, about being so tight-fisted with our money, holding on to everything we have, and it puts the focus on other people and what you can do to bless people around you. And it leads to this feeling of it really is better to give than to receive. And lastly, a community impact. So as we're all doing this as believers, as we're all sharing in unity in this mission together, the growth is just exponential, right? And our resources go further together than they do separately. So Horizons commitment, what do we do with the tithe? We 10% of what Horizon receives gets distributed between local ministries, regional ministries, and international ministries. And so some of the local ministries that we have that we can contribute to are the Community Crisis Center right here in Reisterstown, the Reisterstown Volunteer Fire Company, Storytime here, Teen Group, Vacation Bible Camp, and the Thrive Program. So these are all local ministries that we take the money that we receive and give to. And we have regional ministries of the Baptist Convention of Maryland and Delaware, FCA, Fellowship for Christian Athletes, and then the Fuge trips that the teens take during the summer. And then we also give internationally to support the Chile trip that 7 of our members here are in Chile right now for that. Nicholas Moreno, Red Del Camino, and Carry Them Ministries. So over the next few weeks, we're actually going to be talking about some of these ministries. And in fact, next week, we get the opportunity to hear from the folks in Chile. They are coming back on Wednesday. So we get to hear all how God has blessed them by them using their time, money, and resources to further the kingdom in Chile. How do we give at Horizon? Because this is not a traditional church where an offering plate is passed. We don't have that. We don't have membership here, and we don't demand that you tithe. That's for you to work out with God. We have a small bucket in the back that people put checks in or cash. And then we also have PayPal, Tithely, all access through the website. So if you were looking to give monetarily to Horizon, that's how you would do it. And so as we conclude, assess where you're at here as we start this new year with your time, your resources, and your money. Do you have margin to grow in these areas? Think about what seeds that you're planting and what you can do today that will impact God's kingdom eternally. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this new year and a fresh start to the year. I pray that each of us can examine in our own lives, Lord, ways that you can have us grow. We pray for the team in Chile as they're serving and using your gifts. We pray for safety for them, for your Holy Spirit to be present and to be working. And we wait in anticipation to hear all the good things that you have done through them. In Jesus' name, amen.